Back to the Bible. Back to the city of God. Back to the freedom of heaven. Oh, what a blessed happiness. Coming out from confusion. There is much dead rock. To the light of the morning, Jesus leads the church. Back to the Bible. Back to the light in the Word. Be our watchword forever. Holy to the Lord forever. Back to the Bible. That only pleases the Savior. Jesus now calls his own. Obey his voice today. Often our fathers longed when they dwelt in Babylon. We have now reached Zion, where unity is enthroned. Back to the Bible. Back to the light in the Word. Be our watchword forever. Holy to the Lord forever. Back to the Bible, where all separation ceases. Fleeing from Babylon to Zion. Oh, what a blessed cause. How long we searched, longing for the light. But now in the evening we found it, as the Word promises. Back to the Bible. Back to the light in the Word. Be our watchword forever. Holy to the Lord forever. Back to the Bible. Following the call of the Lord. To the words of the Savior, which we so gladly obey. Never again to depart from him who so gloriously delivers us. Heavenly being on earth, oh, what a bliss. Back to the Bible. Back to the light in the Word. Be our watchword forever. Holy to the Lord forever. Dear brothers, dear sisters, worldwide, I greet you all most cordially in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Wir sind Gott dankbar für
We are grateful
Christus,
to God
dass er uns auch
that
heute
He will also bring us His Word this afternoon.
Wir danken, Bruder Frank,
We thank Brother Frank that he is still speaking to us. We know the time is short and Jesus will appear soon. We thank the Lord that he will make us ready until that time so that we can be there. I would like to read a word from 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 to 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, Peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken, are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. What a marvelous word we read here. In verse 9, For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. What a marvelous word we read here. What grace we have through salvation. I would like to read a second word from John, from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 and 3. John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Dear brothers, dear sisters, this word is a confidence for us, that when the Lord comes, we may be there. Faithful Lord, we thank you for the promises, for the words that we can always read from God's word. Let us pray. Faithful Lord, praise, glory and thanks be to you for these precious words that we have read. We thank you that your word is yes and amen. Everything will happen as it is written. And for this, we want to thank you and praise and glorify you. It is grace, nothing but grace, that we, Lord Jesus, are allowed to keep these words in our hearts. We also thank you, Lord Jesus, for the confidence we have that we can be there when you come to take your own home. You have promised it in your word, and your word is yes and amen. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this afternoon. Bless Brother Frank, and to you, faithful Lord, be praise, glory, and thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks be to the Lord that we can carry this assurance of faith in our hearts and say, by the grace of my Savior, I am there. I would almost be interested to know how many of you have the certainty in your hearts that you have received forgiveness of sins, the certainty that you are the Lord's property and that you have received eternal life. Just say Amen. And all those who may not yet be able to say it, friends, may God use this gathering to speak to you. And when God speaks, it is not to our heads, not so that we can hear topics of conversation or even discussion, but God speaks to our hearts. There is no discussion in the heart. In the heart is believed what God has said. That is the difference between those who want to understand God with their intellect and those who can believe from the heart. Blessed is he who can believe what God has said in his word. Today is for me, and I would like to say and hope for all of us, a day of celebration, a special day, because I and many of us remember with gratitude the first meeting we had in this hall in Switzerland many years ago. It was the beginning and the starting point, so to speak, of a worldwide spreading of the divine message of His revealed word in this time. You all know that God has given us the grace to recognize the ministry that He has ordained for this time. And I want everyone to truly understand that it is not a question of singling out one of God's servants in a special way, neither a Moses, nor an Abraham, an Isaiah, or an Elijah, neither a Paul, nor a Peter. And I may include our beloved brother Branham in the category of those who walked this earth with a direct divine commission and spoke in the name of the Lord. And what they said came to pass, was confirmed and legitimized by God. When we mention this name, the name of the one through whom God has spoken in our time, from time to time, it is not to emphasize it, but only out of a grateful heart, recognizing what God has done in our time. We follow no man but the Lord, who has redeemed us and who has sent His servants and prophets at all times to speak to the conscience of God's people and to bring them back to the way of God. I could give an account today of what has happened over the years. You all know that I had the grace to be in exactly 72 countries of the world myself and to carry the precious and holy Word of God. And I can say today in this place that I have not spared myself in any way, but through translation work, through radio broadcasts, through correspondence, through all the traveling I have done, I have fully committed myself to the cause of God. And I am grateful to the Lord that He took me, a miserable, worthless, useless person, to carry His precious, infallible, eternal Word of God. To you, who have made it possible that this work of God, and I say work of God on purpose, it is not a denomination, not a fellowship, but we are approaching the end of the time of grace, the completion of the New Testament Church, which is to appear before the Lord without spot or wrinkle. And this required a water bath in the Word. And God cleansed us with a washing of water by the Word, by His grace, to wash away everything that does not agree with His Word. Let me read some scriptures and say something about it with God's help. Leviticus chapter 23, 26. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, also on the 10th day of this 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you. Today, we have a special day. Let's call it a feast day with God. The people of Israel were to celebrate the Day of Atonement as a special feast day before the face of God. Without the atonement through Jesus Christ our Lord, we would not be here today, and there would be no gospel, no forgiveness, no grace, and no eternal life. We consciously place reconciliation through the cross and the crucified one at the center of our proclamation. Those who have accepted reconciliation through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, can celebrate a feast day with God, with us today. And this feast day is centered on Golgotha. Without Golgotha, none of this would have been possible. A feast day, the Day of Atonement, was a feast day, a holy convocation. When Christ died on the cross of Calvary, there was shame and mockery all around him. But the punishment of us all was laid on him, that we might have peace, and by his stripes we are healed. Beloved, let us never forget what God has done for us. Then we read from Psalm 33, from verse 4. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. Even in the Old Testament, the men of God spoke and wrote through the Holy Spirit about what God would do. They were inspired and proclaimed the plan of salvation and the counsel of our God in advance. Blessed are the people who have the Lord as their God. And we may say, as in the time of Elijah, the Lord is God, the Lord alone, and no one else. God has revealed himself to us by grace. And I mentioned yesterday the idea that we are not living in the times of knowledge, but in the time of divine revelation of His Word and will. From the days of the Reformation, God has given the biblical teachings, indeed the knowledge, and for this we are grateful and rejoice with all those who in their time had the grace to hear what was preached to them. It is written in Matthew 13 that the Lord spoke to the crowds in parables, and then he turned to his disciples, took them aside, and said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God." The crowds heard parables, which were also sayings of the Lord. The Lord had spoken these parables, but in the parables, the matter itself was wrapped up and hidden. To this day, people still interpret the parables. But the Lord has opened our eyes to the fact that it is no longer about interpreting what is written, but about the revelation of the Word of God, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Anyone who has ever read the last book of the Bible will know that it begins with the word revelation. The only verse in the entire Bible, in the 66 books, begins with a striking word, revelation. All the other verses, of which there are countless in all the chapters and books of the Old and New Testament, have a different word at the beginning. The last book, the first chapter of the last book, begins with a word, revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. We live in a time of divine revelation of His Word and His will. And we have heard and read often enough in Brother Branham's sermons that everything in the kingdom of God is based on revelation. Jesus Christ Himself is the revelation of God in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3, verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit. It began with the revelation of God in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And it ends with a divine revelation of Jesus Christ, our Lord. If we, as children of God, recognize this and place ourselves on the ground of divine revelation, then we too will not just be spectators, but participants in what God has promised and what He is now doing. Beloved, God has sent a message as the final call, as the last speaking of God, to reveal the last mysteries of the plan of salvation. And all those to whom God has revealed Himself in Christ will hear these mysteries and believe them in their hearts, and God will make them a living revelation to them through the Spirit. That is the sum of the whole. I repeat, God sends His Word not to give us topics of discussion. He does not send His Word for us to discuss it. He sends His Word to make us whole. He sends His Word to show us what time we are living in. Let's listen to what Paul has to say about revelation. He used this word often enough. I just want to read Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Beloved, we believe in the gospel that has Jesus Christ, the revelation of God, at its center. And if we recognize Jesus Christ as the revelation of God for our salvation and our bliss, and He can reveal Himself to us, then we will truly see the salvation of our God. Then we will be inwardly seized and become partakers of the divine nature. Many want to become partakers of the divine nature, and they even make great efforts. They do their best. But do you know what way the Holy Scriptures show us to do this? I will read it to you from 2 Peter chapter 1, from verse 3. According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. Now it comes. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The forgiveness of our iniquity and sin, the entire work of redemption in general, was accomplished in Christ, the Son of God, on the cross of Calvary. But it takes the divine seed of the Word and the work of the Holy Spirit to create a new life, a new nature in the person who has accepted reconciliation and redemption in faith, and to make them partakers of the divine nature. Christ must take shape in your heart and in mine through the new birth. Here we are told that we are given the most exceeding great and precious promises to escape everything and become partakers of the divine nature. We have also spoken about this. The prophets of God were people like us, and yet our Lord says in the Gospel of John, in chapter 10, that those to whom the Word of God came, that they were called sons of the Most High. The Word of God came into their earthly life as a divine substance, and their souls were penetrated with the Spirit of God and the life of God which is in the Word, and they partook of the divine nature. Do you know that our Lord also sheds light on this in the Gospel of John, and he is able to say very briefly and succinctly what we might lose many words about? Let me read from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, from verse 60. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is an hard saying, who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Does this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before?" And now comes the verse. "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life." The Word of our God is spirit and life. Spirit of God, life of God, eternal life. And that is what those to whom the Word of the Lord was freshly come were able to experience and witness in the best possible way. And yet, I dare to say that we as believers must come to the state in the meeting that God's Word hits our hearts through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in such a way that we feel as those to whom God's word was sent at that time felt. And I tell you, they will hardly have stood or sat still. The word of the Lord had not only made and left an earthly impression on them, but also a spiritual one. Beloved, do we actually expect God, under the preaching of the word, to reveal himself and testify to us as individuals? Most people expect the blessing after the meeting. It is best if we come in and let ourselves be blessed from beginning to end. God's word accomplishes what it was sent to do. In the prophets who prophesied of the grace and inquired what time it would be, it also accomplished what it was sent for. How much more now, after Calvary, after Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Savior, as the fulfillment of all Bible prophecy, brought salvation to us all? How much more will the word of God now accomplish what it was sent to do? To the blood-bought multitude who have entered into the covenant with God, we are the New Testament covenant people of our God. His word, his life, his spirit, everything is to be in us by grace. His disciples, and this makes us sad, had murmured about what he said. Verse 41 says, "The Jews then murmured at him." We can still understand that. But then, when it says in verse 61 that his disciples murmured about it, it makes us very sad. If the unbelievers or the nominal Christians are displeased about what the Lord has spoken and revealed and murmur about it, well, then they have not understood it. Then the Lord has not spoken to them at all. We can understand that. But if it is written that his disciples murmured about it and regarded it as offensive, that deeply grieved our Lord. And he wanted to make it clear to his disciples with his words, and also made it clear that the kingdom of God is not about human understanding, and that his words are not at our level, but, as Paul wrote to the Corinthians, spiritual things must be judged spiritually, and the kingdom of God is not about earthly things, but about the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God truly does not consist in eating and drinking, as it is written, but in peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Our Lord gives his disciples the answer. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now it comes. Notice what the Lord expresses in the next sentence. But there are some of you that believe not. Here we are at a loss for further words. Addressing his disciples, whom he had called, whom he had loved, who followed him, he said, but there are some of you, not outside, not in the world, not among the Jews or the nations, but there are some of you that believe not. Beloved, we are entering the final phase of the end times. And it is important not just to believe 90% of the revealed word. It depends on the point that you don't want to swallow. That's the pill. And that's the medicine we need right now. The very thing we don't want to take is the very thing we have to take in order to get well. I don't know if we all understand this at the moment, but the Spirit of God lets us know today that the Lord looked over his disciples even then and made the sad statement, but there are some of you that believe not. They had followed the Lord for many years, had seen him multiply the bread, heal the blind, and perform great miracles. Now it came to the depths of the word. Now came revelation, and they were offended and did not believe. The Lord was grieved with them. Beloved, let there not turn out in any of us a heart of unbelief, as it is written in Hebrews, but that we all may believe as the Scripture has said, not as you and I understand or have understood, but as the Scripture has said. And God has spoken clearly enough for all who are willing to be silent and receive the Word of God. We live in the days of divine revelation. And it is written that in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he has revealed it unto his servants, the prophets. These are days in which the Son of Man revealed himself in such a way that he placed the prophetic ministry, indeed the Bible prophecies, for this time upon the lampstand, so that the children of God might receive instruction from God. This too is already written in the Old Testament, in the prophet Isaiah, in chapter 28, the following is written. Isaiah 28, Here it is written, from verse 9, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts? For precept must be upon precept, line upon line. Well, you all know this word, and not only since today, but already for a long time. In the past centuries, people have been told, do this and do that, and so on. There have always been rules. People have followed them. And all those who put their trust in God will have been saved by grace. Today, it's no longer about that. You do this and you do that. Here a little and there a little. Rather, today, it is about the full and final revelation of Jesus Christ, the revelation of God, His Word, and His will in His Church. Without the Church, God cannot fulfill His plan. He needs the Church, from which the man-child, the overcomers, is to be born, just as he needed Mary back then to bring the Son of God into this world through her. What happened then? Mary received the promise for that time, and the Holy Spirit came upon her. And therefore it is said, the one born of thee shall be called the Son of the Most High. We believe the promise of God for this time, and the same Holy Spirit comes upon us, and something divine is born in us. Not by flesh and blood, not by our doing, but by the intervention of our God. Then, in the same Isaiah 28, it says in verse 16, last part, maybe we read the whole verse. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not be put to shame. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is this tried cornerstone that has always been rejected by the builders. They did not know where he belonged. But in the last days, we have recognized not only the humanity of Jesus Christ, but also his deity. He was man, he was God, revealed in human form. He could say, he who sees me sees the Father. I and the Father are one. Again, some have taken offense at this, but they were ordained for this. There is nothing we can do about it. Our Lord says, blessed is he who is not offended in me. Beloved, we could read a number of scriptures today, but we don't have time. There is still a short wedding ceremony planned, So we have to finish with this part. Let's summarize once again. Past ages have been about biblical knowledge. People were led also from clarity to clarity. There is no doubt about that. But we are living at the end of the time of grace. Not here a little and there a little, but complete revelation of God in Jesus Christ, and complete revelation of Jesus Christ in and through the church. For this is what Brother Branham says in one passage: the fullness of God poured into Christ, and the fullness of Christ poured into the church through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that we all hold to the fact that God has not only given us His revealed word, but is about to pour out His Spirit to bring forth the word as a confirmed reality through the church, not through your efforts and mine, but by fully believing and trusting God and being available to Him so that He can reveal Himself. And I think we have all been addressed here, and no one can say, if God wants to do something, let Him do it through the brother. No. We are the body of the Lord, the church. And when God does something, He wants to do it through the members of His body. And I think that we have understood so much under the preaching of the word, that we believe from the heart all things that the Lord has spoken and revealed, that there is not one among us to whom this should apply. There are some of you who do not believe among His disciples. And if I may conclude and summarize by recalling the ministry, the blessed ministry of Brother Branham during the days of evangelization, there were hundreds of thousands who flocked together from all over the world. There were masses who came to be blessed, to be healed. When the second phase came with the teaching, when the biblical truths about the Godhead, baptism, Lord's Supper, and everything that goes with it, of the fall up to the revelation of Jesus Christ, when this came, many left and no longer followed the Lord. Then, since the opening of the seven seals in March 1963, after the Lord came down in that cloud on the 28th of February 1962, and the voice called out to Him, "Return to Jeffersonville, for the time to open the seven seals has come." As Brother Branham's ministry took this divine turn to prophetic revelations and the deeper mysteries of the will and word of God, even more left him. And we can travel all over the earth and hear the same thing everywhere. Great, famous evangelists spread it with great power and say, yes, Brother Branham was the greatest man of God since the days of Jesus Christ. But, and here comes the but, in his last years, he deviated. That is the language of the great evangelists. Perhaps he deviated from the general trend and course that humanity wanted and followed. But it was God's hour. And we are grateful that it was God's hour. It was a turning point for all of God's people, and they were offended by it because they were not prepared to walk in the light of the revealed word. They went into darkness and stumbled over the word in unbelief. That which was for many to fall has been given to a number to rise. It can be the same step over which a blind man falls, and a sighted man uses it to rise higher. Oh, set me on higher ground, as the hymn writer sings, on the platform of the divine revelation of Jesus Christ. And there all the treasures of divine wisdom are hidden in Jesus Christ, our Lord. If you were ever grateful for this God-sent ministry, then be grateful today. Is it necessary to stand here after so many years and ask people to thank God who have heard the voice of His Word and His Spirit year in and year out? Or should a fountain spring up in our hearts, offering the living God the thanks we owe Him from the depths of our souls? Beloved, God has done great things, and what others stumble over and are offended and cannot believe, at this we set ourselves up. This is how we are set right and built up on the most holy foundation of faith. We may enter the Holy of Holies and see the Ark of the Covenant opened, and the Word of our God has become spirit and life in all those who have accepted God's message for this time. Blessed and praised be the name of the Lord, our God, that is exalted as a name that is above every name. Thanks be to our God, now and forever, for the revelation of His Word and His will in this time, with all our hearts. Amen. Let us stand up. Let us all say, Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Thanks be to the Lord, who has spoken to us. His word is spirit and life. We thank you, faithful Lord, and ask you, watch over us all and be with us. Let no one be put to shame. Let us believe from the heart what you have spoken. Then you will reveal it to us. Hallelujah. Praise be to you. You have given us the revelation of Jesus Christ by grace, and with him the entire revelation of the word and will of God. Lord, in this hour, on this day, in this place, I lift up and praise your name and thank you for the thousands of people you have saved, led out, and guided into the truth. Lord, may you now give this ministry the necessary turn around and do something new by grace for the praise and honor of your name. We have received your word. Make it a divine and living reality in our hearts, in our lives, and in the church. To you, O God, we give thanks together today from our hearts, in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the whole earth, east and west, south and north, and call out the last ones. I thank you for the open doors and for the unlimited opportunities you have given in our days. I also thank you for all my brothers and for all my sisters. Bless them, take care of them, and be with them all by grace, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise Jesus' glory aloud. He is praised by the angelic world. Bring the crown, bring the purple robe, and crown him. Crown him. Crown him. Crown him ruler of all the world. Crown him, ye witnesses, the Lamb who offered himself, who offered himself. Sing praises to the root of the tribe of Jesse, and crown him. Crown him. Crown him as ruler of all the earth. Redeemed multitude from Israel, faithful to the King, faithful to the King. Sing praises to Emmanuel and crown him, crown him as ruler of all the earth. You sinners from among the nations, you are called by the Victor. The Victor is calling you. Praise him for his agony on the cross and crown him. Crown him. Crown him as ruler of all the earth. One day we will sing the song of the bride in the heavenly tent, in the heavenly tent. Then it will resound through all the spheres. Oh, crown him. Crown him. Crown him as ruler of all the earth.